Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 21. Started verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, and did as Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, "In Jerusalem will I put my name." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire and observe time and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Going to verse 9. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Going to verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin whereof he made Judas a sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now going to 2 Kings chapter 24. In his days, starting with verse 1, in his days Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years, and then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him the bands of the Chaldees, and the bands of Assyrians, and the bands of the Moabites, and the bands of the children of Ammon, and sent him against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets. Certainly at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. The Lord, please help me as I deliver his message. Please bless his message. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the course of the history of the nation of Israel, the nation cycled between serving the Lord and rebelling against Him. They would serve God for a while, then slowly backslide and fall away to serve their own lust. God would then judge them. He would allow their enemies to conquer them and rule over them and oppress them. This tyranny would cause them to come back to the Lord begging for mercy. Then the Lord would then raise up a leader to overthrow the enemy. But after a while, they'd go back to their old ways, and it cycled over and over again. But eventually, the Lord got tired of this. He threw the whole book of the law at them and decided, okay, I'm going to kick you out. I'm not going back. I've been threatening on doing this. Now I'm actually going to do this. And when was this line crossed? It's crossed in the reign of Manasseh, the king of Judah. This king seduced the people to do worse than the heathen that they had kicked out. He put idols and pagan altars in the temple of God. But above all the abominations, he shed much innocent blood. He led the people in shedding innocent blood through human sacrifice. They filled the city of Jerusalem full of blood. And the Lord would not pardon this innocent blood. Horrific judgment was coming, and there would be no turning back. The question poses, has America crossed this line? The answer is, we have sinned the same sins.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, we deserve the same punishment.
Yes.
You have shed the innocent blood. We've all gone off our own way. We've done much more wickedness than the heathen. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
What he hated 3,000 years ago, he still hates today.
Right.
How can God not judge this land? He would have to apologize for punishing Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It said in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations to forget God. And America has crossed that line.
Mm-hmm.
The judgment is on its way. Mm-hmm. It's imminent, and it's imminent, and there's no turning it back.
Mm-hmm.
God is not tolerant. He does not tolerate sin, especially the sin of shedding innocent blood.
Yeah.
And this shedding of innocent blood is on the top of the list of America's sins.
Yeah.
When Cain killed Abel, the innocent blood cried unto the Lord from the ground. How much louder in the Lord's ear is cried innocent blood of 50 million plus that cries from the ground of once Christian America.
Yes.
How is it possible that we've not crossed this line? God is not tolerating abortion, and he will not pardon a nation for the shedding of innocent blood. He may pardon individuals who ask him for, who come to him in repentance. Many a murderer have been saved through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And if you have had an abortion, he can forgive you too.
Right.
Even the wicked King Manasseh was brought to repentance and God forgave him, but he didn't call off the judgment.
Right.
Israel was still judged. They were judged severely. God is patient and long-suffering, but he does not pardon nations for innocent blood.
Yeah.
But you make me thinking, well, God's not going to judge me. I've never had an abortion.
Mm.
Well, the Lord's judging America for sins,
right.
Plural. There's more than one sin. Yeah. Abortion is one of them. Yeah. Going back to Manasseh, not only did he seduce the people to shed innocent blood, he seduced them to be worse than the heathen. They're wicked all around, not just in one area. This was another reason why God said enough. The Christians came to America, they came over here to preach to the peoples over here.
Yeah.
But now, they're worse than the people.
Yeah.
But forget this outside world, the same wickedness is in our churches.
Yes, sir.
I go back home, my church back home, sometimes I can't tell the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have no fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
We have no knowledge of Christ. Why? Because we all seek our own ways. We don't seek after the things of Christ.
Right.
We go to church on Sunday morning and do whatever for the rest of the week.
Oh, boy.
No wonder that when the Bible says that Christ returns, he will judge the church people first. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1:14. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? In ancient Israel, they were judged because every man did what was right in his own eyes. Going after their own way, and that is another one of the sins. The judgment of America is already sealed, it's on its way, and there's no turning it back. September 11th and Hurricane Katrina are nothing in comparison with the coming judgment.
Right.
Or if these disasters do not get the people's attention, what will? All they think about is themselves.
Yeah.
What will it take to get the attention of a very selfish, self-centered people? For we have forsaken the Lord to follow our own way. The whole of our society is centered around quote-unquote you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the advertisements. It's all about what you want.
Yep.
Get yours today. It's all about you.
Yep.
Everyone is living off in their own little world where they are the only reason why they exist.
Mm-hmm.
But the God of most Americans is themselves.
Yeah.
For all seek their own and not the things which are Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:21. And the self-centered lifestyle is totally contrary to the word of God.
Yeah.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. These two commandments are a summary of the entire Bible. This book can be summarized in two verses. That's those two verses.
Yep.
This entire book in two verses.
Yeah.
If you look at these verses, they leave very room for yourself.
Yeah.
If you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, that obviously means that you're putting Him first.
Yes.
Not you, but Him. He must be first in your life. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you treat him as equal to you. But even Christians today are so self-centered that we become apathetic to the things of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We have no knowledge of God because we seek after our own. We do what we want when we want to do it. We are not cast out down those things in our life that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And this very knowledge is what will keep us and protect us during this time of judgment. The Bible says in the last days perilous times are come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. And of all the sins of these last days, this self-centered lifestyle is at the top of the list. And perilous times shall come, for if all people are concerned about is themselves, they will lose their natural affection towards others.
Mm-hmm.
They will not care about others.
Yeah.
They certainly will not care about the things of God. We can see this in our society.
Yes, sir.
In conclusion, we have crossed the line with God. We have sinned. We have turned to our own ways. We have shed innocent blood. The judgment of America is coming. What we face as a nation, maybe Hillary Clinton as a dictator, hate crimes laws, concentration camps. You say, a Holocaust could never happen here.
No.
50 million are already dead. It's already started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Lord shall exact vengeance for the shedding of innocent blood. But 50 million have to die to avenge for the 50 million aborted.
Mm-hmm.
And how would this happen? A surprise, maybe a surprise at nuclear attack in a major city? A tsunami wiping out the entire eastern seaboard, major earthquake down the center of the nation. See, that could never happen, an earthquake down there.
Mm.
It says, go look at the New Madrid Fault. This fault runs parallel to the Mississippi River. In the early 1800s, this fault had a series of massive earthquakes. I would read an eyewitness account of one of New Madrid, Territory, Missouri, March 22nd, 1816. On the 16th of December, 1811, about 2 o'clock a.m., we were visited by a violent shock of an earthquake, accompanied by a very awful noise, resembling loud but distant thunder, but more hoarse and vibrating, which was followed in a few minutes by the complete saturation of the atmosphere with sulfurous vapor causing total darkness. Now that sounds like a judgment.
Yeah.
The screams of the affrighted inhabitants running to and fro, knowing not where to go or what to do, the cries of the fowls and beasts of every species, the cracking of trees falling, the roaring of the Mississippi, the current of which was retrograde for a few minutes, only as it is supposed to an eruption in its bed, form a scene truly horrible. That's just one paragraph. It goes on that there's like multiple earthquakes and the ground is vibrating for like months. Multiple massive earthquakes. in a period of several months. And this is in the middle of the country. This was not in California. You say a tsunami would never hit the East Coast. What is a volcano, an island off in the Canaries off the coast of Africa, which is slowly collapsing into the ocean? The scientists are concerned this volcano, when it collapses, will produce a mega tsunami that will hit Europe, Africa, and even America. And they're concerned it'll be possibly even 150 feet high when it hits the East Coast of America. And we need to be prepared for what's coming, and spiritually prepared. Yeah. There's people out there who say, well, I'm prepared. I have piles of food stockpiled. I have a whole arsenal. I'm ready.
Right.
Well, are you ready to meet your Creator?
There you go.
Ready for eternity. Mm-hmm. It's not wrong to defend your pain and be patriotic, but no amount of food, that stuff will keep you safe and not right with God.
Right.
But if you're living in sin, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're backslidden, you need to get right.
Mm-hmm.
Only then will you be part of the solution.
Right.
To be spiritually prepared means to be right with God, but also means much more than this. It means abiding daily in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It means being as close to Him as possible. It means loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind.
Mm-hmm.
America is likened to the Titanic. The Titanic was a ship of luxury and pleasure, but it became a ship of disaster and death. It was boasted to be unsinkable. The arrogant cry of the people was, God himself could not sink this ship. Last September, I asked the Lord, okay, if America's a Titanic, in what stage of the sinking are we? He said the water's up to the first funnel. Researching that in history, the ship only had 10 minutes left. And there are two groups of people on the Titanic. One group would try to do it their own way. They went down cursing God.
Mm-hmm.
Another group went down singing.
Yeah.
They're singing, Nearer, My God, to Thee.
Yeah.
Which will you be? Will you ignore the warnings of coming judgment? Or will you seek to be as near to the Lord as you can?
Mm-hmm.